The Rush Hour with JB and Billy starts in less than 10 seconds.
1-2 testy, 1-2 testy.
Make sure you don't miss a thing by downloading the Triple M app.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
G-banger for me. Not a bad bum, to be honest.
Put moron number two on the phone.
We must distance ourselves from this embarrassment.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, nice, nice, nice on a Monday to have your company. Big, big show coming up too. Damien Barrett in to talk footy. And there's lots of amazing stuff happening across the weekend, of course.
It was.
And then we tell you the five finalists for Bill's massive ball.
Ball.
I can't wait for that. Of course, Brooks Koepka winning the US PGA. At the wire to wire, if you don't mind, umpire, please.
One every day, yeah.
Four majors already before his 30th birthday. He's won 13 tournaments complete,
yeah.
Four of the majors.
And he's not that enamored with golf.
Oh, no.
He doesn't love golf that
Matty,
much.
An early one there for you. And then Jack Crisp, second hour. Very fine young player, of course, for the Magpies.
He doesn't miss a game, Jim.
No, very, very good. And then a little, I like this too on a Monday, a little bit of old topics, Brayshaw, get us nicely underway. Hello to you on a Monday, Fat.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. G'day to you, Rabs.
Stevenson's kick two. He's going to go for the
ball.
Torpedo punt is an absolute beauty.
Oh, you beauty. Yo, beauty. That's what we like to see in our game. High marks.
A big barrel.
Liam Ryan and Tommy Stewart.
Yes.
And barrels.
Nice barrel.
Because they don't practice the barrel enough, Jim.
Apparently not.
I'll tell you what else they don't practice. I want to bring up with Damien. Goal kicking. Every week we say it, Jim.
Yes.
Every week we come in here. Why don't they?
I don't know. Well, they say they do. When you talk to the players, they say they do, but
they don't
get it right.
Well, far too much.
Well,
and congratulations.
Apparently North Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs are by far the worst, and
they
makes sense because you watch both of those clubs and they just miss for Africa.
Melbourne on Friday night, North.
Yep.
Hey, congratulations to Scott Morrison, we must say that. He's our Prime Minister.
ScoMo. No one saw that coming.
Oh, mate. And that's another question. I've got a lot of questions.
Yeah.
How can the political experts get it so wrong?
The pollsters.
Only happens once every two or three years.
You think you'd be able to get
it right.
You've
got 3 years to have a look at it and get it right.
Yep.
I pick 8 out of 9 every week.
Old movie screen head Shorten didn't pick it.
Yeah, I know, Jimmy.
Bill, he had the lodge keys in his pocket.
I think he was already in there.
I think he was. He'd moved in.
Put a painting up and things moved the couch around a bit. He wasn't happy with it.
Old IMAX.
Oh,
suddenly he's just backed out.
I tell you, if you're a bit smug in this world, Jim, it comes
crumbles.
Back to... You know who else is smug? The budgie smuggler that was the Liberal Party.
Tone.
See? Yeah, too smug.
He's out.
Out.
Yep.
Exactly.
And I don't think too many are worried about that.
No, you know what there was a big vote on? The climate change, as our man told us.
Yeah. Marty McFly, as you call him.
Mrs. Doubt. Oh, he was spot on, but.
Dr. Martin Rice.
No, thank you.
It.
Well
it's
done.
Just, you give him a
bit of
a title.
A B-ball, Toronto 1, Jim.
Right.
That was double
spoiler alert.
Hang on. Yeah. Go back. I'm going to give the scores to the NBA this morning.
If you don't want to know, turn away.
Turn away now. Toronto 1, Jim.
Oh, no.
That's game 3, so it's 2-1 there.
Mm.
Very good. Double overtime, wasn't it, Rabsy? Very good game.
Yes.
Brooks Koepka.
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 Yes.
Jim, he was 7 strokes in the lead.
Yes.
Had a 4-over, Dusty Johnson right up his tail, but he won by 2 shots in the end.
Yep.
But it's a great story, isn't it,
by
Brooks?
Amazing. As I said, he's, I think, 13 now professional wins. 4 of those are majors.
Four.
2 back-to-back US Opens and now back-to-back US PGA tournament. And he hits it a mile, Bill, hits big, high cuts.
And hasn't got a weakness.
No, he's obviously...
He?
No, not at that level. He actually said in the week leading up to it, majors are easier to win.
Well, that's exactly right, Jim.
And he's proving it to be the case.
He's walking along with his girlfriend, you see that? And she went to kiss him, he turned away.
Ooh,
she cracked the sads. But I did see her on the 18th.
Yeah.
She was there.
Oh, Bill, I tell you what he is too. He's a big bastard.
Oh.
He's big arms and chest and... Yeah, he's a modern athlete. I'm not sure about downstairs, Bill. He's pointing to the Taj.
Hey.
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue about that bit, but certainly frame-wise, he's big.
So he played for Port Adelaide, first game on the weekend?
Who's that?
Joel Garner.
Yes.
How good's that?
Yeah. Was he Sandy? Where was it? Well, I reckon I saw him in the Tech Cup. Was it Joel Garner playing for them?
Captain of, I reckon, one of the Victorian sides.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was what would his nickname be, Jim?
Oh, Bill. How are the parents not knowing that the great big West Indian fast bowler? You'd have to call him something else, wouldn't you? Jake Garner or something
Eastern
like that.
Rangers.
Yeah. He was Eastern Rangers. But he was in the, I reckon, Vic Country or Metro, and that we were all laughing at it then because he can play, by the way.
He can. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Oh, it's cold, the water. And deep.
Oh, no. Okay. You can't be going with that stuff,
that's
Phil.
For Damo.
Not early on
that's
a Monday.
That's his favourite gag. Is it Damo's
really?
Favourite gag. Anyway, Cooper Cronk is going to retire.
He's had enough.
You know what they should do down here at Amy Park, or whatever it's called now?
Yeah. Amy Park.
They have a statue of Cameron Smith, Billy Slater.
Big three.
But Cooper just behind him a little bit.
What?
Yeah. Cool.
Bill.
So Cameron in front.
You can't have the big three, but one not
as big. Yeah, but just at the back a little bit.
Oh, no.
Or he's on the ground on kneeling or something.
He
like
got him the titles.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, the A-League final was on the weekend, Jim, over in Perth at Optus Stadium.
Yes.
56,000 there.
Finally.
Perth, the best side in the competition all year.
Yep.
And they got beaten by Sydney.
Penalty shootout.
Unbelievable. So well done to Sydney. That's four A-League premierships they've won now.
Right.
And that'll do for them. I've had enough to speak.
Yeah, righto. You've done a nice job of getting us away there, Fat. Let's get Damo in, talk some footy next.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Welcome to you, Damo.
Hello, Jim and Bill. Just and rehash of the election.
Got to tell everyone about my Saturday night. I'm trying to call the footy in Hobart and I got two idiot mates that think they know all about the election.
Yes.
One of them used to wear number 3 for Melbourne. He's got really hairy head. And the other one's got glasses and not his hair's not as heavy on his head.
Yes.
And my phone's bouncing up and down and Gaz has given it the, I'm calling it. And the votes hadn't even started being counted yet. And then Damo's, I'm not prepared to call it.
Damo.
Anyway, it was.
Well, actually, you started the texting, Jim, but you were somehow trying to call a game of footy and still having your one ear on what was going on
I'm
in Canberra.
I'm saying the unthinkable is happening.
Yeah, well, it did.
How can you, journos, not the political ones, not.
Yes, don't lump us with
but
this. We've got our own problems.
You're all in the same family.
Yeah.
How can they get it so wrong, Damo?
It was terribly wrong, wasn't it? Because when you do reflect on it, Bill, the polls weren't that far apart. It was 51-49 or thereabouts most of the way through, but it was the interpretation of what the vote distribution was going to do out of that. So, no, I think it's a valid question, Bill, and I would think a good media organisation would, as of Saturday night, be doing a proper debrief and critique all as to what happened.
So here's my take on it. Old IMAX head's gone. he's out. And for me, Purple, just from afar looking in, I'm a Albazese. Old Albo, in he comes.
Albanese.
Albazese, and in he comes. And I tell
you, he's getting the name wrong.
Nope. Idiot fall.
Nope, I'll tell you why. Because
you got that, Matty? Write that
he's
down.
He's got nice levels of lunatic about him.
He does
and
have
I like that
lunatic.
Purple. He's got a little rough edge about him, old Albazese.
So you're backing him over Plibersek?
Yes.
Plibersek,
okay.
Yep.
He's my man, Albazese.
Wow.
I want him on the leadership landscape just because I reckon he could get loose.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff he'd say would be nice and entertaining.
Well, the Prime Minister's going to show some looseness, I think, hasn't he? He was at the Rugby League yesterday waving his Cronulla Sharks scarf around. So.
Anyway, we'll move away from politics. Let's get stuck into the footy. What did you enjoy?
Enjoyed what Geelong did in that final quarter. It was a bit of a grind, wasn't it, until then? And you probably didn't see it because you were calling a game effectively at the same time or thereabouts. But, Bill, they've broken away, obviously, and have for some time. You could look at it two ways, couldn't you? And you look at them very closely. That it required them to do it in bursts and stop, start sort of footy. And look, I like what they did in the last quarter, but until three-quarter time, it was still either way, wasn't it? Or just before three-quarter time.
The Doggies were good.
Yeah, they were.
And they play that footy, they go through the middle, and they either stuff it up or they score goals. And it was really close to three-quarter time. But and then you look at Collingwood. They've done the same in the
same
last
thing.
Couple of weeks.
Same
they've
thing.
Kicked goals in the last quarter.
Yep.
You look at West Coast on Friday night.
Yep.
So I think as long as you can get the 4 points at the end of the day, I think that's what they worry about.
And not wanting this to sound like a captain obvious call, but there's a breakaway of five now. And while amongst the top six is also the Brisbane Lions.
So who are the five?
The five, in no particular order, but the latter order says there's Geelong, Collingwood, GWS, Richmond and West Coast. And I'd be putting West Coast up probably just below Geelong and Collingwood.
There's
the way one, I read it, Jim, at this
there's
stage.
There's one to just have a look at.
Tell me.
Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
Who are winning now. They had 8 kids with 10 games or fewer.
Yeah.
On the weekend. Plus, that many blokes they got out injured.
Well, they've got Wines out. They've got Burton out. They've
Jonas.
Got Gray out. They've got Jonas
Rob,
out.
Yeah.
Dixon.
Hartlett.
Hartlett. Watts. Because, so, I mean, Watts was in their best 22.
So they're one to watch, Port Adelaide.
Yeah, they could be. But it's not a bad point you make, because they're still sitting, as we speak, in the eight with 5 wins and 4 losses. And they've had a few moments. Mm. But if they do start getting some of those players back, I'll concede
but
your point there.
I can't see them travelling to Melbourne in September and beating Collingwood or Geelong or Richmond.
Mm.
So that's my worry about them. If they get a home final early on, they might be able to jag it. But I'm with you. I think they are the 5 standout teams. Really like what Brisbane are doing.
Yeah.
And they are a build. You know, they're a 30, 40 game build. Yeah. But to be where they are within that build is a bloody good effort. And they're playing a good style.
Yeah, and they just got a win up here, down here.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And the producers of the Sunday Footy Show, Bill, yesterday said that of the remaining 13 games, only 4 are against teams in the 8 currently. So they've done the hard yards already.
Yep.
And just the team below them on the ladder right now, West Coast, when they got to 3-3, you looked at their next 3 opponents, and to me, they're always going to get to 6-3.
Well,
they've
Bill
now
said
got
they're
there.
Not going to make the 8.
Actually, he did say that.
You said that
2 weeks ago before that St Kilda game.
Well, wait. Sorry. The season finished. We're up to round 23 already.
Matty, cut that audio out and we'll have it on high rotation. They won't make the finals, according to Bill.
And then within minutes of him saying that, you did a run through of their remaining games. And you had them finishing top.
Top 2. Mind you, they were lucky to squeak out a Friday night. Melbourne, just for a bit of polish, should have won that game.
They are. But I take the view with them, Jim. They're a bit like what Geelong did in the last quarter against the Bulldogs. They're just doing what they have to do just to get the W and to keep the front part of the season alive, and then they'll get into some sink, and then the beauty of what they've got ahead, and they've now got the ability and luxury to really time it, is to when to unleash Nick Natanui.
Yes.
And to me, he just changes the landscape of the entire... Of course he plays.
I don't know if he does.
What, if he's ready to play, you won't play him?
You'd be worried about him, wouldn't you?
Of course you would. He's got one more go at it, you'd think, wouldn't you, before
he's got to be,
would have to make a decision. But Bill, he's done all the right rehab, and it was around 17 injury when he did it last year, so I'd be thinking around about that time for him at some stage. But think about that. Get 2 or 3 games into him around that period into the waffle system, and then, you know, round 20, bang, wow.
Yep.
You've only got to get him ready for a 6 to 7 game campaign then.
Whose was the better mark, Liam Ryan or Tom Stewart?
Liam Ryan by a long way, Bill. As good as Tom Stewart's was.
Are you saying that because of the game situation?
Because
for me,
because
just
was...
as a pure mark, I like Tom Stewart's
more. Oh, did
more.
You? Yeah.
Because I love when a bloke just hitches on top of someone else and basically sits on their
head.
Well,
the
look at it though, Jim. He got on top of a smaller guy in Liberatore.
And
Liam Ryan ended up having a boot in the face of Maxie Gawn, who's the tallest in the competition.
Yeah, no, they were both beauties. But from a classical hanger, I like Tom Stewart.
What about Tom Stewart, the smile?
Yeah.
That smile, he's nearly giggling. And then Mark O'Connor, who was clapping like he'd seen one of the greatest things in the world. That was great.
For Coates Hire, Damien Barrett's in the studio.
And a rush hour call for Anthony
Albanese
to take over the leadership and go feral. Just feral, Damo.
You've got to get the name right, though, Jim, if you're going to mount this campaign.
I want him feral. I want him just inappropriate and loose. Now, what else did we like out of the weekend, please?
I like Dusty's return to 2017 levels with a 37 disposal game, Bill, at the MCG against Hawthorn. Looked really good, didn't he? And was happy to run both ways, probably for the first time, I think, this year. It hasn't been bad. It's just that we judge him.
Sore?
I haven't heard that. And if he is, they're yet to reveal that. He's yet to tell anyone that being the case. He has commented in the minor ways he does comment publicly. The struggles that he had coming off the highs of 2017, both team-wise and personally, and how the high that he just assumed would come never actually did come. And it's like, here we go again. So, again, what he did last year personally was absolutely fine. It's just that we got to judge him on a Brownlow Medal runner-up in 16 and then a win in 17.
Best season ever.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad at all last year. But it just in comparison with the previous two, it was different and lower than expectations. And, yesterday was back.
I tell you what I did like, the coach, Dimmer, saying that he got it wrong with Brandon Ellis.
Yep.
He said that he looked at what he couldn't do rather than what he could do and just let him go on the weekend. He had 35 touches or something. So good on the coach for saying I might have got it wrong.
Yes, and good on the coach for how he's using Noah Bolter too, Bill, in a few different roles. Obviously, he's a big man and will need to be covering for Nankervis while he's out for a little bit. But can go forward and take a clunk, can't he?
Oh, big Noah, yeah.
And he's got some speed
He's a different cat, I reckon.
Our man, the supercar, the V8 supercar driver, has he got his attack dog, Kane Corns, on an incentive if he takes down the biggest possible name? Supercar's rating him, and he goes, if you can start picking these blokes off, then there's more wedge for you. Is that how it works?
You're referring to his comments about Paddy Dangerfield?
Yes, and they went down well down at Geelong. Well, Chris Scott and Danger both liked hearing it.
Silly.
Well, Chris Scott himself, I think, contributed to the narrative post-match when he said, oh, it's all about the Danger show. So he's given, Kane the entree into then going into the main course and dessert the way he does, Kane. Yes. And I saw before, actually, that he was on the back page of the Geelong Advertiser for those comments that he made. And Danger's fired back today as he's walked between getting out of his car into the Geelong rooms today, saying, he's had his right of reply there, and he's fired back, so it'll be on again.
Nice. Has he got a bit of, you see more of the cats than anyone, Bill, has he got a bit of Gavin Wanganeen in him, Danger? Because Gavin, four or five times in his career, actually passed away. Tragically.
And played the next week.
And then 10 seconds later was up and about and taking the free. Has he got a bit of that in him?
I don't know what you call it.
Phil.
But he can. Remember he went off against Hawthorn, come on and kicks.
He kicked like 5-7, didn't he, when he came back on?
It was like Peter Hutton, just kicking goals everywhere. And so, but he does, he's got a sore knee and he's got a sore ankle now.
Yeah, the knee's the left one, I think, and the ankle that he did damage to late in that game against Bulldogs on Saturday night was the right one. So I want to give a thumbs up to Dylan Scheel, who
kicked his first goal.
Was it his first goal
for Essendon? It's taken 9 rounds.
Yeah. What I've liked about what he's done is he's actually put himself into a position in pretty much all of the 9 games to be amongst the Essendon best, but he's let himself down with some woeful disposal. And it's been valid, the criticism around him. He's probably been trying too hard to analyse what he has been doing. But he just scaled it back a little bit if you look back on what he did on the weekend, Bill, and just started picking off targets which were a bit closer to him, weren't as adventurous. And I really like how he's hung in there.
He lowered the odds and got them to a
win, which they desperately needed.
Yeah, you're right. You're spot on. And played really good. And his kicking efficiency was up.
And we're still positive still, aren't we?
Yeah, still positive.
Keep going.
Still positive.
Come on while you're on a roll.
I like what the Swans are doing. Last 2 weeks, they've won by less than a kick. They did so against Essendon on the Friday night in round 8. And then held on late against North Melbourne, but they set the game up, Jim, as you know, and as you called it.
Good,
they got to 34 points or thereabouts up. And look, they're a young team. They've got a lot of youth in it. Tom Papley, someone who I think has had a really good career at this point in time. He's so valued internally, Bill, that I think eventually the rest of the industry will realise he's nearly elite.
Did you say they've got a young team, which is interesting? Because I reckon 5 weeks ago we were saying they're too slow, too old.
It's been forced upon them, some of the decisions. And Joshie Kennedy was a late withdrawal. And again, there was more than 1,800 games of experience that is listed as a Swans player this year out of that game on the weekend. And yet they were the ones who set up the win with a dominant display that nearly was eroded with North's late comeback, but North didn't deserve to win.
They might lose some more experience too if Luke Parker, they have a look at that with the elbow and Jack Zeeble.
Yep.
Was there, you know, I don't talk umpiring and certainly won't use any form of excuse for North because they dug their own sort of hole.
It had to be a hold. It's a jumper. As soon as the jumper goes back.
It's where
on Todd Goldstein in the last
the
play.
It's where the umps need ultimate courage because it's 10 seconds to go, but that's a free. You can't pull another player's jumper.
And you backed over it straight away after the game and it was good the way you did that, Channel 7. Having said that, Jim, I didn't look at it and go, that's an absolute 100% surefire free kick. No, I didn't.
But
I can see why it would have been paid, though, in under a certain scenario.
Only because that's how the game is now officiated. As soon as you see an arm full of jumper, they just call it. But as I say, it would have been absolute theft if North had got up and got over the line.
A couple of positives from the VFL. Max King kicked 4 goals for Sandringham.
Nice.
Jake Lever got through.
That's important.
Very important. And Josh Jenkins kicked 6 goals for the Crows in the sand.
Hello, Bill. All right, we'll have a look at the other side of the equation next with our man, Albo. Come on, Albo.
Old
Get in there.
Debbie the Downer.
Yes. Purple, we've done some nice positivity.
Yeah, we have.
And now we need to have a look at the stuff that you weren't as impressed with on the
week. And the obvious one there, Jim, and we need to talk about it, is Carlton and what they do with Brendan Bolton. They've got a four-match sequence coming up now, which goes like this, Bill.
Righto.
St Kilda.
Maybe.
Essendon.
No.
Brisbane Lions.
Where?
That's at Marvel Stadium. Ooh. In round 12. And then round 13, they've got the Western Bulldogs. So those four games will ultimately determine Brendan Bolton's chances of being coach of Carlton in 2020. As you know, Jim, I feel and I've felt for some time that he won't be coach in 2020. But I've long held the belief, because I do believe the Carlton officials when they say it, that he will be given absolutely as a minimum all of 2019. Now, I'm paraphrasing what they have been saying, but I've never for once thought they'd be making a move on him within this particular season.
It's
but
his fourth
it's looking
year.
Bleak. It's his fourth year.
Fourth year.
And one win only last year, only one win in the back half of 2017, and only one win to this point. Year, so two wins 2018, only one win to this point of this year.
Okay, so the it's as good as a 100-point loss. And yep. I remember at North Melbourne when we had, you know, Brad Scott in his first year in a very, very, very young list, we had a couple of 100-point losses. And you sort of go, okay, brand new coach, trying to re-establish a list. You never like him, but at that sort of embryonic start of the journey, you go, well, we just got to wear it and get better, which North Melbourne did. The issue for me with this one is this 4 years in.
Yeah.
So you're 4 years into a campaign and you're getting beaten by 100 points.
Yep.
It's a different focus on that.
And look, we referred to injuries before when we were talking about Port Adelaide, Bill, and Carlton, relatively speaking, has been hit with injury. Liam Jones is out.
He's a ready-made, yep.
Yep. They've had issues with, obviously, Cade Simpson. Again, an important player. Mm. And that back line. And that's where the issues ultimately are. The other issue, too, when you factor in what happened in round nine, was it was only 2 weeks ago they got smashed by the team currently sitting second last on the ladder in North Melbourne. They responded well against Collingwood in between, and there's no doubt about that. And that's why, you know, they do get frustrated, because they pushed Collingwood to a point in that game in round 8. But two of their past three now have been horrendous to leave them at 1-8. And it's just a scoreline that is not going to work at all in Brendan Bolton's favour.
No. What has Juddy been saying?
Juddy's maintaining the party line. He'll obviously be grilled again tonight by Hutchie and Lordo and Caro on Footy Classified.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'll be keen to see what he says, because he did face some questions, pretty hard ones too, about a month ago, Jim, when they had a bad performance. But it's just the same old, isn't it? Narrative about them every single time.
And they won't have the first round pick this year.
No, and that's, I think that needs to be factored in too. And again, that was an all-in club decision on what they did last year. But ultimately, and for those who forget, Adelaide has possession of Carlton's ladder position in this year's draft.
Adelaide sit seventh, Jim. Seventh, and they get the first pick.
I think they call it curling the mo. The Melbourne Footy Club, do we still hold out hope for them?
Yeah, I'm prepared to give them probably one or two more weeks, Jim.
You know why, Purple? Because Fremantle, with four wins and five losses, are ninth. So it's a weird-ass season.
Yeah.
So Melbourne are only one game back
beyond
and
that.
And some percentage.
Yeah.
But it just might be one of those weird years where you can climb in.
Well, it could be.
St Kilda are 4-5, and they're 13th.
Yep.
And they were good against West Coast. A bit, as we were saying before, West Coast did what they had to do to win that game of footy. Just want to ask you, Jim, since we're talking about the negatives. Angus Brayshaw, what's going on?
I don't know what they're doing with him, to be honest. I'd love a quiet chat with Goody, a man you know I admire enormously. Because the first three rounds of the year, he was an inside stoppage midfielder, which is what he came out of his mother as. I mean, his DNA is that's how he plays footy. Had that charge towards the Brownlow last year as an inside, contested stoppage midfielder.
Mm.
Averaged, I think, 31 possessions first three rounds, and it was on fire, and then got spat out onto the wing against Sydney. Has played all the remaining games out on the wing, and has, I think, gone down to averaging 22 a game.
Mm.
But I just don't get why you take someone who is so elite in that part of the game away from the thing he's absolutely best at, firstly. And secondly, I've got to be careful because of his surname, but secondly, he, for me, of their mids, is so far and away their best user by foot, it doesn't matter.
Mm. He is.
Because the rest of them, Harms, Jones, Viney, even Oliver, I think are pretty poor by foot.
Yeah, they can cough it up.
So why would you take someone who uses it as well as he does and gets it a lot out of the heat?
Mm.
So that's what, I just don't know. I'm not inside the tent. I don't understand what they're doing. There'd be a reason. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. We'll keep moving on. North Melbourne, we touched on slightly when we were praising the Swans, but I thought they were really ordinary in that first three and a bit quarters, or let's go three quarters. I thought
the first quarter they were good, I thought, but this middle two pages, second quarter especially, they got belted.
And while it was a game of teams that will finish down the bottom of the ladder, it was a game that North, I think, just had to win in the context of this season.
Especially
the Dockers,
down there.
Geez, they're hard to watch, the Dockers, aren't they? They actually are unwatchable.
They kick seven goals.
Seven goals, yeah. And have left them, as Jim pointed out, they've left themselves 4 and 5 scoreline, but it's only a game out of the eight. And look, they'll probably win enough games at home to have them in eighth spot by the end of the year. But unless Ross Lyon decides to utilise the flair and the skill of some all-time, an all-time great in that five, he's also got a Bradley Hill, he's got Michael Walters, he's got a Mundy, he's got Hogan, he's got so much access. Wilson, who people with natural flair, but he just doesn't seem to tap into it.
No, they've been involved in the two hardest games to watch for the season. Just getting back to the Sydney North game, the one thing I did like about it was you had Dawson, you had Haywood.
He looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah, and Heaney and Mills we know about. You had Taron Thomas, Simkin, really, really good for mine. Larky's going to be... So what you did see, and I know it is 16 playing 17 or whatever it was, but I think there were 7 or 8 kids playing in that game who are going to be bloody good AFL footballers.
Yeah.
So I like that. If you're going to be down the bottom, you've got to... That's all those two sides
just
you've got to do.
Play them, Jim. You've got to play them.
Just keep trotting them out there and giving them access to the caper.
Yeah, which does make you wonder even more than you did at the time why North went down the recruiting path that it did last year. And look, I said that at the time, and I don't know why they did it, given that the names, or some of those names you read off, were North players who need a chance.
Yeah, but the problem with that is, well, not problem. You've got Polek they gave up the number one pick for, but they were losing that anyway for Taron Thomas.
Yeah.
So what
I'm more talking about Aaron Hall and Pittard. And I know Pittard's actually been okay, but is there someone in the VFL who would be better off getting a game right now to get some experience?
Gold Coasters, as we let you go, we've got a watch on them, or competitive? Are you happy?
They'll good again. Their first five rounds were extraordinary, given where they're from. It's going to be a long remaining 13 games, but
they led at halftime.
No one had any expectation on them, did they? No. And I think they've already shown almost enough over the totality of 2019.
All right, Bus.
All right, that one we sent up the Hume Highway bill the last couple of weeks, it's coming back down the highway, and it's going to join that one up on the blocks at Princess Park.
A double bus.
Ooh. Needs a double treatment this week.
You might have to buy one of those double deckers.
Might have to. But that one that's been on the blocks for a while is already there, but we're going to give it some company.
All right, Albo.
Why have I become Albo?
Because I just like how loose he could be, Albo. Get him in and let's just let him loose. Nice to see you. See you Wednesday.
See you.
That was Damo's recovery session for Coates Hire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Righto, Bill's massive ball. We've got the finalists now. They're all going to take on Fat, and whoever hits the ball the longest distance gets return flights and transfers to Queenstown.
Yep.
Accommodation, Jack's Point Lake House. Two rounds at that superb Jack's Point Golf Course. And the other finalists, of course, who don't win that, get a custom fitted through Benji M5 or M6 driver and a year's worth of TP5X golf.
So on Wednesday, there's five of us, or six probably, yes, Jim, because I'll be there.
You'll be there, yep.
And we have three drives with the M5 or the M6 driver, and the longest one wins that prize.
All right, so the first finalist is...
Got drums?
Come on.
Is Dave Ingham.
From Point Cook.
Yes, indeed.
Plays at Sanctuary Lakes. Very nice golf course. Greg Norman design.
And you read the reason, Jim. 6'3" and 100 kegs. So big boy.
That's it. So there you go. You're in, Dave.
Yep.
Second finalist.
Matt Prues.
Yes, from Torquay Sands.
Torquay Sands. Nice course.
That is a nice course.
It is. Well done, Prues.
He says he's got timing. So we like that. All right. Third finalist.
Rob Tennant.
Plays down at Peninsula, which is a very nice track. So we're looking forward to him being there.
On you, Robbie.
He's won more long drive comps than you've had hot dinners, he reckons.
Some big hitters here, Jim.
Here we go.
Yep.
Next one.
Glenn Vanderlit.
Yep. From the Druin Golf Club.
Druin.
So that's a fair. It's Daisy Thomas territory.
It is. That's a long way out. He would have pinched those.
I reckon I could hit my driver over the silo that the big fella allegedly kicked the Sharon over. That was a rainwater tank. All right. So the final one.
Tyson Gill.
From the Commonwealth Golf Club. Very, very nice track that is too.
It is, Jim.
If your radio skills are anything like your golf skills, there'll be no problem for Tyson.
Good one, Tyson.
All right, Bill. So there are the finalists.
Yep. fivers.
Well done, and they've all got to firstly hit it past you. Well, that won't be a problem.
That won't be.
But secondly, the longest drive wins that unbelievable prize for TaylorMade.
What happens if I actually hit it the longest? I go.
No, that won't happen.
Why? That's the rules.
No.
Rules and regulations, T's and C's apply.
Bills, Bill, if you hit it the longest, I'll step in and hit a left-handed ball further. That's how horrendous you are.
You'll have to do your stretches. He gets here and does his stretches.
We love the support of TaylorMade. What a fantastic competition. The final is coming up. When, Rabs?
Wednesday.
Fair dinkum.
Seven, you cop.
Oh, I tell you what. Monday, we need to have a locked-off camera on what happens in here because neither of us have got our best foot going forward.
No.
And Fat just argues, doesn't he?
Yeah, I've got a question for you.
I just said to him then, how many premiership coaches are currently active in the AFL?
Yep.
He goes, five. I said, no, there's seven. So then he starts counting them off, and I go, Fat, I'm telling you, there are seven. He goes, well, you'll be wrong. So how many are there?
Geelong.
How many are there?
Giants. Richmond, 3. West Coast, 4.
Giants haven't won one.
What are you talking about?
Porter, no. Freo, no. Essendon, yes. Hawthorn, Dogs.
Bill.
7.
Clarkson, Longmire, Chris Scott, Hardwick, Beveridge, Simpson, Worsfold. 7.
Bolton?
No. What else have you got happening here?
7.
Please?
That's a lot.
Which is what I said.
That's a lot, Jim.
You'll be wrong.
All right, then. Guess who's joined? Brad Johnson. In the 10th spot in AFL VFL history, most games.
Who do you reckon?
Who? Sean Burgoyne.
Yeah, star.
This week.
Legend.
364 games. Oh, we're playing little games amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the four players that have played 400 games.
Well, little Boom Boom.
Boom Boom's on top with 432.
Tucky.
426.
KB.
403.
Who else is there?
Come on, Inspector Gadget.
Dusty Fletcher.
400.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. It is a staggering thing, by the way.
400 games, that's a lot.
It is. Righto, what else you got for us while you're doing it?
Yeah, Jeremy Cameron, 2 weeks in a row now, hasn't kicked a goal, Jim. Still leads the Coleman.
Amazing when they won by 100 points or thereabouts.
And he had 27 disposals.
Yeah.
It's not bad. And Buddy Franklin might miss his fifth game in a row with a hammy, Jim.
Jeez.
I told you he tweaked it many moons ago.
Listen to Bill.
I was all over it.
I told you he tweaked it.
I was all over it.
Yeah.
And he wants to play this week. It'll be his 296th game.
Right.
Big Buddy. So, but Big Horse is just saying, well, hang on there. We've got all these kids. We mightn't play you. He might just have a spell again.
Oh, that's what it'd be. Not that he's injured.
No. Jim, Ben McAvoy, he got injured on the weekend.
Big boy.
Daniel Rioli was very good in the, he played VFL also on the weekend, Jim. And I'll tell you who might go this week. Do you see Reece Matheson? He elbowed Jordan Gallucci from Adelaide in the back of the head.
Gallucci. Hey, we did focus when Damo was in here, quite rightly, on the fact that Essendon and Freo probably wasn't a great game of footy.
No, it was shit.
But... But we should also acknowledge, I didn't see it, but I heard about it, that apparently Adelaide and Brisbane was an absolute cracker. I reckon it was a ripping game of
Adelaide
footy.
Adelaide and Brisbane?
Yeah.
Geelong Dogs is good too.
A one-point game, but they say it was up and back and entertaining and free-flowing.
Yeah.
And so that we the game can be played brilliantly as well.
And Geelong, you know, Geelong went at 82% by foot for the whole game.
Lots of good kickers, that's why.
That's
this man's a very good kicker. Jack Crisp, let's get him in.
I gave him one vote on the weekend.
Nice, Bill.
Crisp for a second from on the paint of 50.
Whack.
Everything going right for Collingwood. This is extraordinary at the MCG.
Oh, six in a row. Maggie's flying. This man's just playing beautiful football. Jack Crisp in the studio. Welcome, Crispy.
Hey, g'day. Chris, thanks for having me in here.
Just talking about Myrtleford.
Yes.
And I've got it up on the maps here, Bill.
It's not a bad joint, Jim.
Maryang, Gapstead, Barwidgie.
Oh, Jim.
Warrally.
Myrtleford's
a bit... What the hell sort of joint are you from here, Crispy?
It's a bit bigger, Myrtleford. I'll tell you who's come from Myrtleford, Jim.
Kecker.
Old Chompers Kecker.
Buffalo River.
No, not Buffalo River. Right. And Gary Ablett Sr.
Right.
I think he was up that way for a while.
Yeah, the Myrtleford Football Club's pavilion's called the Ablett Pavilion, actually.
Oh.
Yeah,
so. Bowman's Forest. What the hell sort of joint are we talking about here, Chris? How many people are in Myrtleford, please?
Well, it'll be a few thousand now. So
right.
We're all growing. Brighton, Myrtleford are really going up in the country there, so it's a nice touristy area.
You're not going back there at any stage, are you?
Yeah, my wife and I would like to move back there.
Move back there?
Yeah, one day.
She's from where?
She's from half an hour out of Myrtleford, a little place called Kaganya.
Kaganya. Now, crispy. There's a joint, Jim. There's crispy. Not no one there.
You're not going back to Myrtleford. Now that you've made a star of yourself playing for the biggest club in Melbourne, you're not going back to live in Myrtleford. I don't reckon.
It could be maybe 10, 20, 30 years.
What would you do there? Well, the Reeds are from Bright, aren't they?
Yep. Ben and Sam, their family's there. That's where Ben's got his... what's he got with his missus there? Their retreat?
Caravan. Bright's got a bad... the Dr. Scholes owns the caravan park. Bright's a very nice place.
But Myrtleford's all right.
Only 20 minutes just before
from Myrtleford?
Yeah, 20 minutes. You go through Myrtleford to get to Bright. So,
come on. And then you're up at Falls Creek.
Yeah.
Skiing.
Yeah.
That's it, Jim. And then, so you were up at Brisbane?
Correct.
And game, you were, well, it was an interesting deal that all happened, didn't it, to see you at Collingwood. Jack was traded to Collingwood, Jim, along with picks 5, Jordan DeGoey, not a bad pick that, and 25, the Pig, for Dane Beams, who's back at Collingwood.
Back there anyway.
It's strange.
So it's worked out perfectly. Well, bloody oath. And you're playing brilliant footy, mate. You must be really pleased personally.
Yeah, you know, I really am enjoying the back line. It's my second full season back here in the back line now. It's just, been really good, been pretty enjoyable. Got Jeremy Howe, Lyndon Dunn, a lot of experience there. And with Justin Longmuir coming over last season as the new backs coach, it's been worked wonders for the team.
And Maynard back there as well, so a couple of big bodies.
Yeah, he's a solid boy, Braden. He's
going on with the haircut.
Oh, yeah, he gets a... different mix of feedback. Even he says it's gross, but he keeps growing it longer.
And Darcy Moore, of course, hasn't he? He's moved in well there.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. You know, he's been injury free so far, and he's been performing so well. He's so athletic, and he's quick on his toes and strong aerially, and he's just slotted in very nicely.
And you haven't missed a game, is that true? 4 years.
Yes, since the back end of the. When my last year in Brisbane, I played the last 6 and, all of them for Collingwood.
But you've had some injuries during that time. A hip. You had a bad hip there for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I had hip surgery last year. That was a bit troublesome for a couple of years, I think. So I was lucky, glad I got that done because I think the doc said would have been pretty stuffed with my hips if I didn't get it done. So thankful I got that done and, had a fracture and... my lower back, yeah. It was like a cricketer's injury, the fast bowler's injury.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never played cricket in my life, so that was a bit fuddled how I got it.
Fuddled? Because growing up in Myrtleford, you either played cricket or footy, I would have thought. Were you a tennis player?
Nah, I played basketball over summer in Myrtleford. It was great.
Jeez.
You kicked the ball beautifully, Crispy, and I reckon your coach would enjoy that because he was a magnificent kick in his day. Does he allow you to bite him off? Does he say if you see it even through the middle, just have a crack?
Yeah, it's actually what we're talking a bit about today in our team meeting was a bit of Collingwood football on our brand is see it, hit it. And there was one edit that we showed where I think it was in the last quarter or third quarter when Tom Phillips just kicked it straight into the guts to James Ash and then ended up, he got pushed, but Steele picked the ball up, turned around, smiled to everybody and then ran in and kicked a nice goal. So
two Saints players went that way. He went that way. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, so it was a good edit and we just looked at that and just talked about how we move the ball.
You look very clean cut to me, Crispy, and therefore you'd stand out at Collingwood. Because
any tats?
Any tats for you?
A couple.
He's got a couple, Jim.
And are you going to add to it? Are you going to become a full sort of Collingwood setup?
Nah, not that crazy as to what Dane and a few other guys have gone to, or Geordie or Steve-O. Probably no legs for me, but I'll might stick with the arms for now, or one arm at the moment. A little bit at a time, but we'll see how we go.
And married very young, yes?
Yeah, so married in 2016. So
Michaela, beautiful Michaela.
Just turned 23 or
childhood
24.
Sweethearts.
Yeah, grew up knowing each other through school sports and local football, netball, stuff like that. Yeah, we started dating started 2012, I think, or 2013.
So how old are you?
I am 25, 26
this
year.
So you got one daughter and one on the way?
Yes, yeah, so 10 weeks away from having another baby, yeah.
Jeez, you pumped them out.
Well, we thought, why not?
Two, Jim.
Like having them close together, so I'll be able to grow up being close. Like we've got 4 each. Three siblings each in both our families and enjoy being close together. So we thought, why not?
All right, Crispy, stick around.
I don't know
around.
If we've got any more questions.
No, we've got lots to talk to this, especially the Maggie's on a tear. 6 in a row. Got Sydney on Friday night. Ooh. Just going beautifully down there.
Jack Crisp from the Collingwood Football Club's in the studio.
Crispy.
7 wins on the season, 6 of them in a row, so the joint's just ticking over beautifully. A couple of your teammates we need to get to the bottom of Crispy. Chris Mayne, where's he at? Our man.
I'm not sure where he is at the moment, but he sent me a message to give him a little mention.
Oh.
he's travelling all right. He got through a game, a full game on the weekend, so fingers crossed for him. He'll keep going. He's playing some good football.
Played cricket with his dad, Stephen Mayne. The WA under-19s. He was a decent cricketer and then became a very big in the police force over there.
Did he?
Like a CIB detective. Saw him one stage. He said, if you ever need any help, I said, I plan not to call you on that.
Exactly.
But a very good man. And also, Braden Maynard's the other one because his dad, Maxie Maynard, used to be our boss in here years and years ago.
Yep.
Where does he get his size? Have you ever met the old man?
Yeah.
He's a dwarf.
Yeah, no, he's great. Lila gets babysat by Braden's mum, actually. So I see Maxie every time we go over to pick Lila up, and it looks like he's not doing any work. But
he won't be.
To tell me that he's working hard. But
Braden's a big bastard, so that must be from mum's side of the family, because that can't be from Max.
Yeah, Corey's a big boy as well, so I don't know where they got it from, but it's good having Braden in the team.
Going for the Bogan sort of, what is that? What do you call that thing where they have the sides shaved?
Undercut.
What is that?
I don't know. He's got a fade through the side, but a ratty at the back. I don't know. No, it's yuck.
Bit the same, you two, actually, except for the hair. Left footers and tough half backers.
That's about it.
What about Mason Cox? Mason Cox has got to come back in. So where does he go? Because Ben Reed's going very nicely. Majacek kicked 4 on the weekend, going very, very nicely. So what happens here, Crispy?
Well, I'm not too sure, to be honest. I was listening to Ben talk yesterday. I'm not sure if they've trained too much about having 3 tools, whether it be Coxie ready and Check is in. But if Coxie's ready to play this week, then it's up to the Bucks and the coaches to decide whether we go 3-3 or 2-4 with tools. But it's definitely a good problem to have, especially with the tall forwards fit and firing.
It's an interesting one, isn't it, Jimmy boy?
We watch that with great interest. Steel side bottom we love, of course, and a legitimate star of the competition. Does he bring his brothers down into the rooms at any stage?
Yeah, he does sometimes.
She's there a different gathering.
played his, I think it was his 200th. Last year, I had, about 50 or 60 people.
It would be.
Yeah.
And all down from the hills.
Nice big after-match function at the Glasshouse. And, they were all there present and pretty rowdy after a few beers.
He has been a superstar.
That's
a word you don't want to bandy around, but he is a superstar of the comp steel side.
Definitely is. The way he carries himself around the club, he's become such a pivotal leader for us all now. And what he demonstrates on and off the field is just, he brings a lot of young guys through as well. So it's really good to see.
I'll tell you who else he is, Jim. And he's also a midfielder, not a ruckman. Brody Grundy. Yes. Unbelievable the way he's in the form he's in, isn't it?
Yeah, he's been playing it bloody. Oh, I won't swear.
That's
Tommy Phillips.
He's been unbelievable. I don't know what he's averaging, 20 plus disposals and then 40 hitouts or whatever it is, but he's just great. And the mids love working with him. We love having him in the team because his work rate's unbelievable. Yeah, he works down the line, takes strong contested marks, and then he works up the ground again. And he's still involved. And then even after the stoppages, he's back on the ground winning his own ball. So, yeah, he's great to have in the team, and we love playing with him.
I see you floated during the week, Jim, that he's an Adelaide boy and he could go home, which would be interesting.
Jeez, won't. I don't reckon he will.
Did he just ease that out?
Well, he did, because he's an Adelaide family are back there and things like that. Don't want to lose him.
No, you do not want to lose him. What you've got is some incredible father sons at the Collingwood, mighty Collingwood Football Club, and a couple of them champions. Bill Josh Dacos, son of the Macedonian Marvel. What a superstar he was!
Saw him yesterday, Jim. Still looks good, Dakes.
Dakes
got a bit of a rat's tail.
Always had a bit of that about him. Magnificent, and then Callum Brown, of course.
Yes, Gavin,
son of the great Gavin Brown, and then you got Will Kelly, son of the nowhere near as great Ned Kelly. Do you ever see any of them down? Do they come down to the club?
I haven't seen any of the dads for a while.
Premiership players all in the same team, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll all show their faces here and there. I think they're just enjoying watching their boys come through.
Oh, yeah.
It's great to see, through the club. Callum's playing some good football in the ones at the moment. Dakes is always pretty consistent. Tyler's just coming back from injury this week or next week from a shoulder. Yeah, and Will's just two or 3 weeks back off his ankle.
Just starting out.
Now, Darcy Moore, of course. Father, son.
And
does Peter get back
Moore,
there? The big.
Yeah, he comes down to the rooms a few times.
He was a good player.
He's still massive, tall.
He's great. Two-time Brownlow medalist. Yeah. So tell us about the travelling of your club, because I've always admired, even when you haven't had a great side, and you do have a bloody good side now, you managed to get onto a plane in interstate and win. You've got this ability to just gather together and produce on the road. Why is that, Crispy?
Well, I don't know. I've found that really enjoyable as well. When I came here, everyone already talked about how good the team was at travelling, and then, I don't know what it is. It's the way the program's set out or whether it's just everyone just loves getting away together and a bit of enjoyment. I guess it's the excitement of the whole team getting to bond a bit more and just, oh, yeah, I can't put my finger on it. But, yeah, Oregon's great to be a part of, and especially going to Sydney. We normally play pretty well up there.
You don't travel a lot, to be honest, Crispy, do you?
Yeah, you've seen five, six games a year is enough, Bill, for us, I reckon.
Probably doing, Bill.
Ed been coming down the rooms much, and the head just goes from purple back to normal, Ed.
Yeah, you can tell if it's been a tough game for him.
Well, that Carlton one.
Oh, Jim.
It actually went a whole different colour again right at the end.
If you talk to him after the game, you can tell if he's got his voice or he doesn't.
Yeah, hey, good to see you, mate. Congratulations on your own form and the club's form. Good luck. Big game coming up Friday night.
Thanks for having me.
Talking to a mate of mine, just came back from holidays. I said, how was it? He said, oh, nuts, they're in Fiji. But he said the flight up there and back with a 4- and a 2-year-old was hell.
4- and 2-year-old.
And boys, and very willful, these two.
Active.
Bill.
Yes.
I said to him, well, it wasn't as bad as when I flew with our kids to Europe about 11 years ago. And George, who's now turning 14, but at that stage was 2.
Oh, no.
And he was a handful, Bill.
Georgie.
And the head of the whole plane... So the crew chief kicked me out of business class.
Sucked in. So you were in business class.
He wasn't crying or anything, but he just wouldn't sit still.
What, running around?
Running around, just making a nuisance of himself. This bloke came back to me and said, I'm sorry, Mr. Brayshaw, but we must ask you to move.
That's great.
So I got booted out.
So you had to go down to cattle class.
What I had to do was, you know, in the old jumbo jet, they've got the stairs at the front.
Oh, yeah.
Bill, I spent 7 hours... walking up and down the stairs with a 2-year-old.
Oh, no.
Until the plane was on descent, and then I went back to the seat, strapped myself and him in, and landed.
What, did he not
sleep? 7 hours.
Did he not sleep?
No. Oh, he just decided to turn one on, Georgie boy. But it's never happened to me before. This bloke came back and said, you're out.
You've got to get out. I love that. Good on you, mate.
You, 6 or 7 grand, your business class seat. Out.
Out him. Out him.
Out him. Out him. So therefore, hands.
133353.
Have you had a nightmare on a plane with your kids?
Ooh.
What happened?
What happened?
I want the story behind it. What are we giving away, please, Rabzi?
Has this an Urban Mess product pack that includes face wash, 6-in-1 precision trimmer for your beard, beard trimming kit, exfoliating soap, beard oil, the lot.
Oh, so just for bearded people?
No, it's like moisturisers and, you know, a bit of manscaping. It's good, Bill. You can get it at Woolworths as well.
You probably could do it.
What, a beard?
No, manscaping. 133353, amazing prizes on the line. Ring us now. Have you had a nightmare in the air with your kids? I want to know what happened. Talking about when your kids have made travelling on a plane a nightmare, like Georgie did for me when he's only 2,
Georgie.
To be fair, but the bloke came back and kicked me out of business class.
I love that.
Helen from Moffat. Hello, Helen.
G'day, chaps. How are you?
What happened, Helen?
Well, it's not about actually what happened, but in the mid-90s, my sister and I were flying to Fiji, and I had 3 children under the age of 5, and my sister had 2 small children.
Oh, no.
And at the time, my sister, who worked in radio, was quite well-known. Yes. Was recognised on the passenger list, and we were upgraded from domestic class up to business class.
Ooh. With your kids?
You were the kids, so we had pretty much, it was like in the infinite wisdom of the steward, he gave us the top bubble of the Qantas jet, so we had the whole business class to ourselves. Oh. We had 5 children running around, so it was like a bloody flying crash. And there were toys and just stuff going everywhere, and my sister and I sat back and we drank Veuve Clicquot the whole way. The whole way.
Get stuffed, Helen. You had the reverse of me. I got chucked out. So we got elevated.
Where's the nightmare in this?
There is no bloody nightmare. Oh.
Stay there like that.
Well done.
Kieran in Essendon, Bill.
Hey, Kiz.
Hey, boys. I flew from Melbourne to Singapore a few years ago.
Yep.
And this was on an A380. And the fridges out the back of the plane all blew up, so it smoked the whole plane.
Oh.
And so we had an emergency landing in Darwin.
Oh.
And when all the smoke happened, all the kids just went nuts. It was the school groups, girls screaming. It was horrible.
Oh,
and I was travelling on my own, and I was in the exit row as well, and I was absolutely gutted. And we arrived in Darwin. It turns out everyone with a kid got a accommodation, and then I was stuck in the Qantas Club and was putting 2 couches together.
Oh, no.
Put 2 couches together.
In Darwin. Jim.
Stay there, Kieran. Donna in Junction Village. Hey, Donna.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Good. What happened?
Donna?
Oh, look, we had a really good experience. We did a 10-day tour to Vietnam,
yes.
And then we went to Malaysia, and it was actually grand final day.
Yep.
when we were in Malaysia. So we went and had a few bevvies and we had the kids with us.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, the ice cubes, which I blame.
Yes.
And we went for breakfast the next morning and the shit kicked in.
The ice cubes, she's blaming.
That's it, Bill, why she's blaming them.
It's the ice cubes, Billy. Yes. I know. I've got a photo of you. I've met you at Devon Meadow.
That's it, Bill.
Oh, yes.
You're right. The good-looking bald one.
No, he isn't.
Thank you, Don.
That's not a photo of him.
All right, I'm the better-looking blonde one.
You are. I remember you, Donna. Yes.
Stay there,
very
Donna.
Very good, Jim.
Aaron from Truganina, Bill. Truganina? How am I saying that?
Truganina.
Righto.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, guys. How you going?
Hey, yes. What happened, mate?
Flying up to Brisbane, taking our daughter. She was six at the time. Thought we'd do all the theme parks and get out. You know those shoes, boys, where you've got the rollers underneath them and you scoot along on them?
Yeah, yeah.
She was scooting up and down the aisles, not looking where she's going, and smashed her teeth into the cart trolley knocked two of her front teeth out.
No.
Mrs. going sick at me. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure they got to come out at some point anyway. So.
But it's not your fault, by the way.
No, exactly.
Oh,
no,
really, Bill?
Well,
so she just gave me a wet washer to put in her mouth and just bled it all the whole way to Brisbane.
Oh, that's nice. Good start.
I like it. Tim Glen Iris winds us up. Tim, we're talking about nightmares in the air with your kids.
Oh, g'day, guys. Love the show. Just calling in to say we're flying back from Canada, the missus and I, with our little girl and the complimentary bag of goodies in business class. Anyway, the little girl got into the peppermint foot scrub in the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And all hell broke loose. Couldn't console her at all, and anything we tried to feed her for the rest of the trip, she thought we were going to put more peppermint foot scrub or whatever in the mouth. So that was just horrible.
It isn't great, and you feel for the parents, Bill, because you're sitting there thinking we've all been there and it's tough. All right, who wins the prize, please?
Oh, Jim. Poor old Azza. The daughter's on those shoes, which the they rollers, roll along. That's head, it. Bang, hit the and lost the chompers.
And then his missus has cut up rough at him.
So, Azza, you have won this.
The Urban Mess Superior Grooming Product Pack, mates. All yours.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Well done, mate. Enjoy that, mate. And I'm giving Helen something.
No, well, she didn't have a nightmare. She had the best time in the world up there, Jim.
I know, but I liked it because she was basically saying, sucked in, Jim. Yeah, exactly. I got elevated to business class with my 18 kids. So, Helen, we'll get you a Nina and Pasadena pack.
I might do a mile high thing.
Oh, no, thanks, Bill.
On the plane.
I don't want that thought in my head.
Ring in. No, we'll get some people to ring in, see what's happened.
No, I don't think we will. Do that.
Travis Farco has been given a one-match ban for his bump on Ed and Tom Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
They might fight that Collingwood, I think. Indigenous round this week. Yep. You'd love to see him playing.
All right, so something humorous?
Yes.
In the day with a laugh, this is Billy's joke.
All jokes aside, if you're digging for a living, you won't dig up a better Kubota construction dealer than supergroups.com.au.
Ah, Supergroups, Jim, we love them.
They are good, Kubota.
Don't mention Kubota, Jim. Supergroups, they gave me a nice hoodie and a tool bag, some frothies. Thank you, Supergroups.
Supergroups.com.au.
Why aren't we mentioning the Kubota?
Because we mention Kubota too much. Here's a good one. A bus full of housewives were going on a picnic, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the bus fell into the river, all dead.
Oh, no.
Not a great start.
Not great.
Yeah. Each husband cried for a week. One husband continued for more than 2 weeks, Jim. Cry, 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 cry. When asked why he missed his wife so much, he said, "No, no, no, mate. My wife missed the bus."
Oh, no. Just real Monday styling. Like, just a horrible Monday one.
Oh, Mickey likes it.
He said he liked this joke.
I like
before
it.
Before he told it.
I like it.
That's junk.
That's good joke, Bill.
Let's get old plastic involved. And
you've done it again, Inspector Clouseau.
No. Even Clouseau?
Clouseau.
Yes.
Why kicked out of business class. Sucked in, Jim.
Mondays are always rubbish.
Good joke. See you tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel.
You are the king of the long. I am the king of the divan. Ça plane pour moi.
That was the Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Finish up tonight.
I think you might have to.
and you'll never miss a moment if you download the Triple M app.